Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the RSWM Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. We have with us today from the management, Mr. B.M. Sharma, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Kalyani, President and CFO, Mr. Rakesh Jain, General Manager, Corporate Finance, Mr. Surendra Gupta, VP, Legal and Company Secretary. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to take this opportunity to remind everyone about the disclaimers related to this conference call. Today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature, based on management's current beliefs and expectations. It must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces that could cause our future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitin Kalyani for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you for the introduction. Good evening to everyone, and thank you for attending today's RSWM Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. I hope you all had the opportunity to go through the investor presentation and financial results, which were announced last Friday, which are available on the stock exchange and our website. So first, let me begin with the economic outlook and the textile industry update. Coming to the economy, the global economy has done better than expected, showing strength despite ongoing geopolitical challenges. The chance of a recession has gone down, and the global economy has managed well with the high interest rates. The economic outlook for India remains positive. The Indian economy grew by 8.2% in financial year 24, which was higher than the predicted. And the RBI expects a real GDP growth rate of 7.2% for financial year 25. Key factors driving this growth include significant government spending on infrastructure, a strong manufacturing sector, and solid domestic demand. The recently announced union budget supports the vision of a self-reliant Bharat. It focuses on important areas like the MSME sector, agriculture, and manufacturing, and gives a strong push to job creation and skill development, which can help the country reach its next level of growth. The emphasis has been on keeping strong fundamentals, supporting areas of opportunity, and sticking to the fiscal plan. The budget allocations for the textile sector has been increased by 975 crore to 4417 crore in the Union Budget 24-25. The budget presented by the Honorable Union Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman raised the allocations for the research and capacity building in the sector to 686 crore from existing 380 crore. It also proposed reducing the basic custom duty on real down filling material derived from ducks or geese to enhance the competitiveness of Indian leather and textile exports. The current disruptions in Bangladesh have undeniably impacted the textile industry, leading to significant challenges in production and exports. However, this situation also allows India's textile sector to strategically pivot and explore new markets. By capturing a portion of Bangladesh, global textile orders, particularly Europe and the US, India could mitigate the immediate challenges faced and position itself for long-term growth. With a concerned effort to adapt and innovate, the Indian textile industry has the potential to emerge stronger from the crisis, turning short-term setbacks into the enduring success. Now, coming next to the update with respect to the textile sector, in India, cotton prices have corrected to around 55,000 to 57,000 per candy as of the last week of June 24, from 58,000 to 61,000 per candy observed in period ended March and April 24. India's cotton prices have regained a premium over the U.S. cotton, which could negatively impact cotton yarn exports if sustained. The average yarn spread decreased by 0.9% quarter over quarter in financial year 25 to 100 per kg from 101 per kg in quarter 4 FY24, reflecting a slight correction in yarn and cotton prices. This reduction in spread could put pressure on our margins if the cotton prices remain at these levels. The cotton yarn spread has remained stable at 100 per kg in May-June 24. With the 6 months of the current year 2024, the average spread at approximately 99 per kg. This is a decline from the higher average spend of 120 to 130 per kg in FY21 and 111 per kg in FY2022. The spread stability provides some relief, but still indicates a challenging environment compared to previous years. India's textile exports, including cotton, yarn, garments, and man-made textiles, faced a slight recovery in 6 months of the current year 2024, with a 5% year-over-year growth reaching $11 billion. Notably, U.S. imports of Indian home textiles increased by 17% year-over-year in volume and 10% year-over-year in value during the same period, despite an overall 9% decline in the U.S. home textile import in last year. Key areas to monitor include the revival of export demand as textile export continue to face challenges. The stability in cotton prices is a positive factor for inventory management, while the cotton yarn spreads remain a critical measure for the spinner's profitability. Now, coming to the company's operational performance, the company has maintained full production capacity, distinguishing itself from many of its competitors. This achievement shows the company's ability to manage operations effectively even in challenging conditions. The company has also managed its inventory well, reduced aging stock, which helps in controlling the cost and improving the overall efficiency. Financially, the company has demonstrated sound management practices with no occurrences of bad debts, major claims, or held up full container loads. These results indicate that the company is in a strong position within the industry and has a solid foundation for future growth and success. The company recently entered into an agreement on 12th of July to sell its thermal power plant, which has become cost inefficient and redundant. The sale is being made to Vidwana Trading Company at Delwara for a consideration of Rs. 48 crore plus taxes. At the board meeting held on 9th August, the board approved a capital expenditure of approximately 740 crores to establish a greenfield unit in Jammu. This new facility will produce recycled PET chips and recycled filament yarn with an expected production capacity of 270 metric tons per day. The project will be financed through a combination of term loans and internal accruals, with an estimated completion period of 2 years. The primary goal of this project is to expand the company's existing operations. This move aims to better address growth prospects and provide a focused approach to management, unlocking better valuation for shareholders. Coming next to the company's financial performance, we are pleased to share that the company's financial performance in quarter 1 FY25 reflects steady progress in key areas. Sales has increased by 3.1% quarter on quarter to 1208 crores, with a year-on-year growth of 34% compared to quarter 1 FY24. This is indicating a sustained demand for our products. Our gross profit rose by 7.8% quarter over quarter and 29.2% year-over-year growth to 434 crores, reflecting effective cost management alongside revenue growth. Also, the gross profit margin improved by 155 basis points quarter over quarter to 35.9%. although there was a slight decrease of 135 basis points on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA level, we reported at 54 crores, with a year-over-year increase of 2.2 times compared to quarter one FY 2024. The EBITDA margin saw a small decline of 17 basis points quarter-over-quarter, indicating stable operational efficiency. The quarter ended with a net loss at the PAT level of 14 crores. While overall, these results suggest that the company remains aligned with its growth plans and is focused on further strengthening its performance. As we move forward, we are committed to maintaining this positive momentum, further improving our financial performance, and delivering long-term value to our stakeholders. With this, I conclude my speech and welcome your questions in the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Mithil Bhuva from unlistedindia.com. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. So when does the management
Mr. Bhuva, can you speak a bit louder? We are not able to hear you.
Yeah, just one second.
Thank you.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, so I had a couple of questions. The first question being, when does the management see the EBITDA margins rising back to normal levels? So at 4%, I guess the sustainability is not that easy to sustain at 4%. So when does the management see it getting back to at least 10%?
And second question?
Yeah, the second question is, like, for example, when we compare with our closest competitors, Nissan Spinners, why does Nissan Spinners have a higher EBITDA margin when compared to RSF?
Okay, your question number one, when EBITDA margins, you know, can be normal, a lot depends actually, you know, what the geopolitical situation takes shape, you know. For the last 2 years, company like RSWM, which was having 35%, you know, export volume, and many companies, you know, which were having substantial, you can say, export exposure, they got impacted first due to Ukraine-Russia war, and of late, you know, due to what is happening in the Middle East. Now, as of now, we started looking for alternate markets. And when I say alternate market, I am talking about Latin American countries. But the shipping cost is very high, and then this disturbance started happening, you know, in the Red Sea area. So it all depends, actually, you know, when things get normalized, you know, so far as war is concerned between Ukraine and Russia, and what is happening in the Middle East. The things which are under our control, we are taking care of that. Number two, comparison with Nitin, well, I think it's unfair comparison, because Nitin is predominantly into cotton, whereas our stake in cotton is only 1/3. And number two, any company, you know, which is, let's say, having 7%, 8% employee cost because the key responsibilities of the management are handled, you know, by the members of the family. We cannot compete actually with that. I can tell you internally, we compare our results with Sutlej, and we have been doing this for the last 8-9 years because our product basket is same.
Yeah. So, any plan to get into that line so that EBITDA margins actually increases more?
So, we improved, you know, our cotton capacities. We added 52,000 spindles, you know, by adding this kapas facility. Kapas, as of now, on a standalone basis, you know, is doing very good. In fact, branded, you know, the product from that cotton mill, Kapas is the brand name, which is, as of now, commanding a premium. But as I said, you know, like cotton is a very small portion of, you know, our product basket. But, like, let's hope, you know, we'll, going forward, you know, with cotton prices stabilizing, let's say, at the range of 58,000, you know, plus minus 2,000 and all, things should be normal for most of the cotton companies.
Okay.
Synthetic side, there are still challenges because synthetic a lot depends on Brent and global oil prices, which has been showing, you know, a lot of volatility in the last 6-7 months.
Just as investors, it becomes very difficult for us with the volatility in the margins to value the company, actually. And that's why I was just looking out for some stability in the margins, but which is kind of difficult in a cyclical business, but still that's a key challenge for us. So that's why I was just looking out for a stable margin kind of scenario, which is, I guess, difficult on me. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many of you are keeping track of, you know, the polyester pricing scenario. If you know, last year, the Government of India came out with QCO, and this QCO was designed, you know, around the fiber prices. Now, what is the impact of this? The impact of this is that there is 17-18%, you know, gap between international polyester prices and the prices which are available, you know, from the domestic manufacturers.
Yeah.
The thing is, it has been taken up with the ministry also. In case QCO order was to come, it should have come actually on the final product. Now, China is dumping yarn which is made of cheaper polyester, which is available to them in China, but I cannot use the same fiber because import of that is not allowed because it does not meet, you know, QCO norms and all, and I don't have access to this. So I am in a very unfair, you know, situation sitting here and competing with China. In last 12 months, fabric import from China was around 400 tons, you know, per day. It is now 1,100 tons, you know. And with a market like Ludhiana, which was a key market for us also, like for jerseys and for, you can say, knitted fabric and all, where normally 8-count and 16-count used to go, we have been completely outpriced, you know, by China. So these are the challenges, but we have found out alternate market. We are not getting the price that we were getting in Ludhiana market, but still, like, for survival, one has to, you know, find out ways. That's what we have been doing.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Pleasure. Next question.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Tanush Mehta from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Mehta, please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding greenfield project in the state of Jammu. So what subsidies are we expected to receive for setting up the greenfield project?
Okay, and second question.
And what revenue can we expect from this unit once it becomes fully operational?
Okay, question number one, what subsidy are we expecting? Okay, Jammu and Kashmir Investment Promotion Scheme says that whatever is your investment in plant and machinery, the 3x of that will be given to you as subsidy over a period of 10 years, subject to limiting this to the GST applicable on the product, you know, that you produce there. So, as of now, if I say I am investing 700 CR, out of 700 CR, 400 something is, let's say, in plant and machinery, the subsidy will be 400 multiplied by 3,200 CR over a period of 10 years, which is 120 CR, you know, every year. And number two, the revenue generation. Well, the product basket that we have identified actually for Jammu project, the turnover to investment ratio is anything between 1.25 to 1.3x.
Okay. And my next question is, could you provide an update on the recent situation in Bangladesh? Is it expected to impact our operations?
Okay, but it has already impacted operations of most of the textile companies which were having, let's say, exposure, you know, to Bangladesh. Now, for some companies which were totally dependent on Bangladesh, yes, it may be pretty deep. For us, it's not so significant, but yes, there has been delays in, you can say, exporting of goods. Orders, some orders have been put on hold, you know, on the request of the buyer based out of Bangladesh. There may be some delays, you know, in getting our payment and all. So all those things are there, but I believe as of now when I am speaking with you, the things are getting normal. The factories have reopened. They have started actually, you know, production. May probably take another 2 weeks, you know, when things get absolutely normal.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Madhu Sharma from SK Capital. Please go ahead. Madhu, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Please proceed with your question.
Good evening, sir.
Ma'am, your audio is very soft. We are not able to hear you.
Am I audible now?
Yes, you're audible. Please proceed.
Yes. Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. My question is, what are the capital allocation plan for upcoming quarters in terms of investment?
What are the capital?
Allocation plan.
Capital allocation plan?
Yes.
You're talking about CapEx plans?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay, good evening, Madhuji. As we discussed, you know, before, the plan as of now is around 700 CR something will be invested in Jammu and Kashmir. Other than that, we, as of now, we do not have any other plan going for substantial, you can say, capital expenditure.
And next one is, what steps did we take to decrease expenses in the recent quarter?
Sorry, please, I could not hear you.
What steps did we take to decrease expenses in the recent quarter?
Well, what can be done for decreasing expenditure, that's one exercise, you know, which goes on 365 days a year. Some internal steps we have taken is like optimizing, you know, the strength at the top level and all. And focus is actually, you know, on optimizing manpower strength. We engaged external agencies like NITRA and all for carrying out, you know, study on the engagement of workers, you know, in different manufacturing processes. Their report is being implemented. I think the results will be felt and seen, you know, after one quarter, because that exercise is still on. They carried out exercises at four plants, and their recommendations are under implementation.
Okay, sir. And what is the current debt position?
Current debt position, I think term loans are to the extent of outstanding term loans around 900 CR. But this 900 CR, something I have been seeing in this company for the last 14 years, you know. And in these 14 years, if you see the volume has gone up from 2,000 crore to this year, like in Q1, we have done 1,200. I think at this rate, we should be touching around 5,000. So a lot of capex has gone into these 12 years or so. But the term loans have remained, you know, static.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sujit Agrawal, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, sir. Hope you're doing well. My question was regard to Turkey. How do you see things in Turkey right now? As I understand, we export a lot of yarn to that country.
Well, the team has returned, you know, just 4 days back from Turkey. And the feedback that we have got is that things are improving there in Turkey. Things are becoming normal. Two or three things, you know, which impacted Turkey negatively, like the currency, you know, devaluation, like the position, you know, after the earthquake and all. And then the supply chain getting impacted because of Ukraine war. The latest info that we have is, and our understanding as of now is that things are coming up pretty well actually in Turkey, and you can see a lot more vibrancy, you know, going forward in Turkey market.
Got it. So there's no dollar shortage or any kind of issue like that, like right now, because of the financial strain that the country is in?
No, not as of now. In fact, I can tell you, in last 9 months, all payments have come, you know, as scheduled. No risk at all.
That's very good to know, sir. And thank you so much for your time. That's all for
us. Pleasure.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. We leak the next question from the line of Ashok Shah from LSC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. So regarding this Jammu Kashmir plan, do we have any capex to be done to save on the power cost, like a solar project or something like that, or wind project to save on the power cost? Because becoming a cost efficient is most important in a weak situation which we are currently passing through.
Okay, to my knowledge, they are offering power at the rate of 5 rupees, you know, which is very, very competitive. In Rajasthan, where it is 7.85, that advantage is there, you know, by way of power subsidy. So, in addition to that, any new plant, you know, we are going to be adding now or in future will have solar facility or wind power facility, you know, at all locations. Even existing locations, in last 3.5 years or so, we have set up almost 23 megawatt, you know, solar capacity. In addition to that, we have 40 megawatt wind power also. So that in Jammu and Kashmir, that will be rooftop, you know, solar facility.
Okay, so secondly, sir, regarding the cotton price situation, do you expect to again go up or it will remain at low level during the current season?
For that matter, you know, any agriculture commodity which is impacted, you know, by the performance of the monsoon, this risk is always there. As of now, whatever is coming, you know, in public domain, it's there that sowing as of now is 10% less than previous year. And the prices in Brazil and US are going to be soft. So going forward, what impact, you know, it will make, I think we have to wait, you know, for 1 month more. The new arrivals start, you know, end September, and then you will have a fair idea, you know, the size of crop. 2 years back, if you remember what happened, you know, we were very bullish, you know, that good crop and blah, blah, and then because of floods and all, you know, and the pink worm, crop was affected to the extent of 20% or so. So all depends, like, you know, very critical time. You can say August 15th to September 15th. If all goes well, we can see sort of a normal crop, though production may be less than last year. And let's see, or in case floods and all affected, the prices may start, you know, going up after 15th of September. The first lot, I think, which is in the range of 200 tons and all, will come, you know, after 15th of September only.
So there is no clear view on the cotton price currently as situation?
No. As of now, it's pretty soft. You see, going forward, well, we expect, you know, that should be in the same range, which is 58,000, you know, plus minus 2,000 rupees a candy. But all depends, you know, how the U.S. market and the Brazilian market behave going forward. U.S. market, you may be knowing, is soft, you know, ICE is below 67 cents as of now.
Oh, are we importing any cotton?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shah.
Yeah.
So maybe request that you return to the question queue. There are participants.
Thank you, madam.
Thank you, sir. Reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Mitchell Bhuva from unlistedindia.com. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question again. Also, in future, in the long term, how much do you see knitting and garmenting as a percentage of the whole sales when compared to spinning currently?
Okay, garmenting, we are not into garmenting at all.
Yeah, so any future plans to get into the retailing part also?
Okay, future plan as of now, no.
Okay,
knitting, like in 16 months, you know, we have come up with a facility of 600 tons, you know, per month, which is a very sizable, you can say, commodity size, you know. So going forward, you can say probably after 18 or 24 months, you know, we can think of adding something there. As of now, no further expansion. Only thing, you know, which can go up is that a part of total installation has yet to get operationalized. which probably may take around 3 months or so. Team is working on that. So another 100 tons, you know, can be added by the end of this calendar year.
Okay. And what are the expected gross margins on netting?
As of now, I can tell you gross margins are pretty comfortable. Business-wise, it's better than yarn.
Yes.
I think out of four products, you know, that we have in our basket, yarn side, we still have challenges, but denim and knits and melanges, their bleeding has stopped.
So, but given our huge experience in the textile industry, we don't want to get into branding and retail. Any reason why we are not into that?
Getting into what?
Branding and retailing. I mean, selling our
branding,
own product.
Actually, say retailing, no. Like, we are not into B2C segment at all.
Okay.
And it's all B2B. Branding, like whatever we are selling, whatever product we are making, we already have a brand called Ultima, which is very well known, you know, in the market, which is synthetic yarn made from SJ11. And so far as cotton is concerned, we have set up similar facility, you know, and we are branding output of that mill as Kapas. Kapas is the brand name.
Yeah, that is it. Oh, but not on the fabric knitting?
No, knitting, okay, knitting fabric we are making, but are we going to give a brand name to it? As of now, answer is no. It's being picked up actually, you know, by all the big, you can say, global brands, you know.
Okay.
So firms like, you can say, Shahi and Gokul Das and all the big garmenters, they are buying, you know, they are our customers. Like PVH, you know, Jockey and all, they all are buying, you know, fabric from us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions, on behalf of RSWM Limited, we would like to formally conclude this Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. We sincerely appreciate your participation in this event, and we kindly request that you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for your time and engagement. We look forward to seeing you in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.